So the question is, what do you think will happen when you die?
I don't know.
You ever thought about it?
A little bit, but I mean, the only thing is, I could only say from what I've either read or heard mm-hmm. other things, but I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I really don't know. It's okay. But what do you believe? You know, what is something you know that is No, we do read a lot of things about this, but I mean, we if you think about it, I mean, we do have a certain thought about it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
is it over? I mean,
it doesn't feel like it's over.
Yeah. So then the second question comes: what is the purpose of all that?
Yeah.
If it isn't over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really important question for us to ask ourselves. It's not, you know, for me to know. I mean, I'm not interested in what your purpose in life is. It's for you to know, because then you can direct your attention to what is important.
So then that means that there is a purpose and people can know their purpose. Then.
Yeah. I mean, that's what most of the people try to... not most of the people. Some people try to figure out. Most of people just walk with the masses, you know. I mean, they just follow the the leader, you know, wherever he leads them. I mean, they just follow him, you know, without even thinking about it. But the people who think about, you know, the purpose of love or, you know, whatever comes up, you know, what's the meaning of life? I mean, just to walk, to wake up, you know, and then eat something, then go to work, and then go, you know, eat another thing, and then go to sleep, you know. I mean, that's not, that cannot be the purpose of our life. Huh? But actually, that's what we are doing. I mean, from the moment you're born, you wake up, you eat something, and then you go to sleep. And when you awake, you do something. I mean, it doesn't matter if it is, you know, if it is work, you know, to sustain your life, or if it is just playing around until you die. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the understanding that Buddhism gives us is that we are born, then we die, and then we are born again, and then we die. And if we don't do anything about the cycle of death and birth, or birth and death, we will never get out.
Yeah, it just continues.
Yeah, it just continues. And, I mean, one time we are born as a human being, the next time we are born as an animal, or as a hungry ghost, or born in hell, or born in heaven. I mean, the cycle of birth and death has 36 realms where we can be born into. I mean, there are 30 realms of heaven, and there's our human realm, there's the animal realm, there's the ghost realm, there's the demon realm, and there's the hell realm.
So there's actually more heaven realms than hell realms.
More heaven realms, yeah, but they are not, the heaven realms are less frequent. But they are much more versatile. But when you think about the hell, even the hell has 26 different stages, or 25 different stages. So, I mean, that's quite a variety as well. So that's where the teaching of the Lord Buddha comes in. He says, I mean, there are these 36 realms of existence. I mean, when we are born, then we stay in that realm for a certain amount of time, and then we die. And then we are born, depending on our karma, in another realm. Mm-hmm. Then we die again. And to protect us, he gave us the five precepts. I mean the five virtues or the five precepts, whatever you call them, to protect us from falling down into the lower realms. Because I don't think anybody would like to be born as a, you know, as a frog or as a snake or as a bird or as an ape. Or he doesn't want to be born in the ghost realms or the hungry ghost realms. I mean that's certainly not, you know, what we are looking for. Or he doesn't want to become a demon, or he doesn't want to become or be born into one of the hell realms that are really, I mean, beyond description. I mean dukkha beyond description. Suffering, pain. So that's what he said, and then he formulated the Four Noble Truths and said, I mean, every being in every realm has dukkha. In the human realm, for instance, I mean, that is the middle realm, though it is, you know, still at the low end, but it is the middle realm. In the human realm, he told us, you know, we can have at most 50% of the time sukha. Sukha means pleasant feelings. And 50% of the time, dukkha, unpleasant feeling. At most. But most of us might have, you know, 5% of sukha and 95% of dukkha, unpleasant feeling. In the heavenly realm, the percentage goes up, you know, about the pleasant feeling. Until the highest heavenly realms, you know, where there's hardly any dukkha. But he says there's no realm, you know, where there is no dukkha. I mean in the realms of existence, in the conventional reality. And the lower we go, the more dukkha we have. So I mean, if you go to the animal realm, I mean, just watch them, you know, I mean, here you're in the forest, I mean, they're all afraid. They're all constantly afraid. They all have lots of dukkha. Then you go to the ghost realm, they even have more dukkha, you know, and then you go to the demon, and it's increasing, and in the hell realm, they have 100%. That is the first noble truth. Dukkha, what is dukkha? Dukkha is dissatisfaction, unease, dis-ease, pain, suffering, mental or physical pain and suffering. It's all. Even boredom, restlessness, all this is dukkha. I mean, that's why we use the Pali word, you know. It's a container for all these unpleasant things. The second noble truth, he told us, I mean, the origin of dukkha. What is the cause for our dukkha? And it's the desire to be or the desire not to be. I mean, the desire to become this or that, you know, to have this or that, you know, or to be this or that, or just the opposite. Not to have this, not to meet that person, not to be in this situation, or not to be at all, you know. That's why people kill themselves, because they think they can evade. But I mean, the moment they kill themselves, they will be in a big surprise. Because killing themselves is just as in Buddhism as in Christianity, you know, a sin. I mean, you just can't get rid of your life. So they all end up in hell, killing themselves. And that wasn't the option that they thought of when they killed themselves. So, the origin, I mean, you can even, it's desire to be or desire not to be. It's desire to become or desire not to become. You can actually say it in short, it's all that we want, it's the will. We want this, we don't want this. It's both. The third noble truth is something, just a concise statement, there's an end of dukkha. And the fourth noble truth is that's why we are here. It's a path that leads to the end of dukkha. And there are, at first, you know, I mean, it's comprised out of three columns. The first column is the sila, is the five precepts. And the first is not to harm any living being. The second is not to take what is not given. The third, not to lie. Not to use harsh speech or, you know, to hurt somebody with one's word. I mean, that most of the criticism that we are so fond of in the West, criticizing others, putting them down and things like that. That's all improper speech. That's the third precept. The fourth precept no sexual misconduct, and that means being faithful to one's partner or to one's wife, what is hardly be done, and not having any sex with people, I mean, that are dependent on us. So a teacher-student relationship is out of the question, is sexual misconduct. Father, you know, father-daughter, and so on. And human with an animal, that's out of the question. Sexual misconduct. The fifth, no alcohol, no drugs, everything that makes us unmindful. So these are the five precepts. That's the first comment. The second is samadhi and sati. Samadhi, the ability to concentrate on one point, just on one point, be it the breath at the tip of the nose or be it the mental repetition of Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. At the beginning, you know, we just concentrate on there, and whenever the mind goes out thinking, you know, or goes out into the senses, I mean, we bring it back to the Buddha or we bring it back to the breath. In the beginning, sati and concentration seems to be the same thing. They will, however, if our concentration gets better, if our then the concentration and the sati will grow apart. So we see, there's awareness and there is a focus. The awareness has a focus, and the focus is at the point of the nose, but the awareness is aware of the breath. So. So sati and concentration becomes two things. Samadhi, there are three types of samadhi. There is the kanika samadhi, that is momentary samadhi. The momentary samadhi is where you drop very deep, where everything disappears, and then instantly, one moment you drop, and the next moment you are out. That is called kanika samadhi, or momentary samadhi. The normal samadhi that we have is a samadhi where we just feel safe. It's just like a glass house where you sit and you're protected from all your surroundings. So you know, you hear the thunder and the storm and the rain and whatever it is, but it doesn't disturb you. The moment you go out of the glass house, I mean, the rain hits you or the hail hits you, you know, and the thunder disturbs you and the lightning frightens you. And this samadhi is the moment when we stop thinking. So a good thing is stop thinking. Stop thinking. And stop thinking. Because once we stop thinking, how can there be any worries? Worries only come with thought. Fear only comes with thought. All these things only arise because of thought. Wanting arises because of thought. Want this, want that. In that moment of samadhi, you don't want anything. You feel happy, and you feel contented, and you feel safe. But the world still exists. I mean, the senses are still there, but they are very far away, and you're not interested, because you are only interested in this calmness, or in the stillness. I mean, it gets deeper over time. In the beginning, it is a little bit shallow, but it becomes deeper and deeper the more we focus on the breath. We focus on the breath or we focus on the Buddha until the breath disappears, it stops. And that's where we get afraid. Oh, am I going to die? And we shouldn't be afraid on this at this point. So we just said, okay, whatever happens will happen. And then concentrate on what knows that the breath disappears. The moment we concentrate on that, we enter Apana Samadhi. We really go deep. And not only this, everything disappears. The body disappears, it can be slowly or it can be fast. The body starts disappearing, the leg disappearing, until only there is our heart. And then even the heart disappears, then all the senses disappears, and the world disappears as if it has never existed. That is the state of deep Samadhi. Or you can also call it the first wonder of our practice. Or you can also call it, or Lungta Mahabua called it also, Privy of Nibbana, where everything ceases to exist. That's a word of Nibbana is ceasing to exist. The fire is gone. The fire of dukkha is gone. So, that is our, in the beginning, this is our aim. First of all, to get the mind quiet, still, without thoughts. To feel that there is something else than this world can give us. This world can give us, you know, sense pleasure. So through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, through the tongues, through touch and through thinking. So when we stop thinking, you know, there is something else. But we have known it before. And it's something that is so enticing, it's something that is so satisfactory that the moment we come out we want to go in back instantly. Even more when we go into deep samadhi. Just, you know, when we come out, wow, what was that? So that is the second column of the path that leads to the end of dukkha, but that doesn't get rid of the kilesas, that doesn't get rid of the desires. When you look at the word kilesa, in Thai it is kilet, and when you translate it, it is as desire, wanting, desire something. when you look at the translate, what is it translated in English normally? Defilements. Well, that's not a good word. Yeah? Defilements. Who is defiled? Who is dirty? You know, nobody thinks of himself as dirty or defiled. And especially not that his mind is defiled. I mean, whatever we think is, you know, it's me, it's I, you know, it's proper. But actually, you know, 99% of what we are thinking is defiled. So that's why we use the word kilesas. So the samadhi doesn't get rid of the kilesas, it just suppresses. I mean, because we are contented, the kilesas don't come up. The kilesas don't have any power in our state of upachara, what is called upachara samadhi. I mean, the samadhi where we're just still. And apana is the deep where everything disappears. So, because they don't have any power, the kilesas. The moment we come out, of course, then they want, you know, they want to drink something, they want to move, they want to do this, I want to do that, you know, want. But just a minute before, we were completely satisfied. There was no wanting at all. I mean, once you go there, you will realize it. I mean, it's quite a difference. If you go often into, you know, you won't realize it that brisk. It becomes only really clear the first time you go into the stillness, and then you come out, you see it. You know, I mean, what's moving about? What is moving about? So the third column, you know, of the path that leads to the end of suffering is panya, wisdom. And wisdom needs to be developed. And wisdom needs to be a tool that is sharp, that can cut down the kilesas. And that's why we need, you know, and whatever, you know, sharpens our blade is samadhi. So both of them go hand in hand, samadhi and panya, or sati panya. They go hand in hand. If our wisdom is not sharp enough, it cannot cut down. Just like when you have a blade that is not sharp, I mean, and if you try to fell a tree, I mean, there's no way. I mean, it just doesn't do anything. I mean, it just smashes up a little bit of the bark, you know, but it doesn't cut down. But the sharper the knife is, I mean, the more it cuts. So wisdom is there to investigate. Investigation, wisdom is developed by investigation. Investigation of what? That's what makes us. What makes us? Firstly, the body. That's what we think is us. The next thing, what we think is us, is feeling. Feeling, be it bodily feeling or mental feeling. That's the second group. The third group is a big group. It's sanya, it's called sanya, and it is memory and association. So, I mean, when we see a tree, we say tree, association. Memory is everything, you know, that we memorize. Yeah? When we wake up, we memorize how to get up. We memorize how to wash our face or how to eat. We learn that for years. So that's memory. And the next group is thought. We think our thoughts are me. We think our memories are me. And the last group is consciousness. So these five groups work together and give us the notion that there is something. There is me. There is mine. There is I. And that's because of that, the Lord Buddha, you know, said, you have to investigate that. You have to really investigate that. Is it mine? Does it belong to me? I mean, if it is mine, you know, can I do whatever with the body what I want to? You know? If I want to get it younger, can I do that? If I don't want to become sick, can I do that? I mean, the body is a piece. A biological robot, you know, I mean, that has its own life. We just use it. The same with feeling. If you have a bad feeling, then you say, oh, it's my feeling, you know, it's my bad feeling, I feel bad, you know. So, I mean, if it's your feeling, then you can change it into a good feeling. Why not? But if it's not your feeling, you can't change it. It's the same thing with memories. The memories that have come up, you know, I mean, most of them, you know, are just garbage, we don't want them. How can they be mine? You know, I mean, if I have something and if something belongs to me, this, I can do whatever I want. I can throw it away and never look at it again. Or, you know, I can cut it up, you know. But I can't cut up my memories. They constantly appear, constantly appear. Except for the few cases where we really want to memorize something, and then most of the time we even It's the same with thoughts. I mean, where all these thoughts are coming from? Did I invite them? You know, I mean, some crazy thoughts. Did I invite them? How can they be mine? You know, I mean, if they are mine, you know, I can control whatever comes into my mind. But I can't control it. You know, they just pop up out of nowhere. So that's why, you know, the Lord Buddha said, you know, you have to investigate these things, you know, because everybody, you know, in this world believes that all these things, you know, these five groups, he calls I and mine, are me, I'm mine. Yeah.
So what is consciousness? How is that defined?
Consciousness is the moment, I mean, you are conscious. And then there's the next moment, you're unconscious, of course you're not aware of it, and then you're conscious again. I mean, some people fall into unconsciousness.
Sense awareness.
Sense awareness.
Sometimes it's translated as sense awareness.
Oh, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad translation.
Yeah, that's quite a good translation. So, I mean, you are aware of the senses.
So mainly when you're aware, kind of consciousness is kind of when you're aware.
Yeah, yeah. But if the consciousness is not there, I mean, you cannot be aware. I mean, but if we define it in this way, I mean, people who still live, you know, I mean, and they still see and hear, you know, but you call them not aware of what is going on. So I mean, be careful. So sense awareness is meaning that you feel something or that you think a memory is there. It is the most difficult thing to investigate. So I mean, that's why I put it at the end. So these five groups, you know. I mean, you have a blender at home and you have five kinds of fruits. You put them in, you know, put them in the blender, you know, mix them up, and then you call this I. I mean, and then you look at your brother or you look at other people and they're made out of the same kind of fruit, but a different quantity. So I mean the percentage, you know, of this kind of fruit that you put in or that kind of fruit that you put in for each person differs. But the fundamentals are the same. Each person, you know, each human being has a body and has feelings, you know, and has memories and has thoughts and has consciousness. But, you know, I mean depending on what kind of percentage, you know, for some people, you know, I mean who study, you know, I mean 95% of their, you know, of their eye is thinking. I mean, they don't care about the body. Other people, you know, I mean, care only about their body. Other people only care about their feelings. Other people only, you know, live in their memories. So, I mean, the percentage, you know, the percentage and the quality of these items, you know, differ for each person. But the fundamentals are for each person, and I mean each person in all the realms are the same. So, and that's why the Lord Buddha, I mean, he saw that, I mean, he made, you know, he defined these groups, and he saw that and said, I mean, you have to investigate to find out that there are anicca, anatta, and dukkha. Anicca means there are constantly changing. There arise and cease, arise and cease, arise and cease, just like thoughts. Huh? I mean, you don't even remember five seconds ago what you was thinking, you know, because the new thought already arrived. Huh? Changing, changing, changing. Anatta means that's not mine. That doesn't belong to me. That is not myself. Because primary question is, who knows that there is a thought? Huh? Does the thought know he is a thought? Does the feeling, next time ask the feeling, do you know your feeling? Your bad feeling, your good feeling, your neutral feeling? The feeling is just a feeling. So there must be something, you know, and that's what the principle of anatta, you know, should point us to. Is there's something that knows of all these things. That knows that as a thought has come, arisen. A thought has ceased, memory has arisen, a feeling has arisen. The body is now in our consciousness or awareness. So it's just like you go to a movie, you sit in a chair, or sit, you know, whatever it is, in the stool, and watch a movie. But, you know, you live this movie. That movie is on the screen. But I mean, for the next 2 hours, if it's an interesting movie, you're gone. You don't even realize that you sit on the chair. Only afterwards, when the flicker screen comes, you know, you realize, ah, okay, I'm here again. And that is the same thing with observing, you know, observing the body, you know, the sensations of the body, observing feelings, you know, observing memories, and observing thought. We get so up into these five things and think that are mine, me, I, that we don't realize that there is something that actually only watching that. So how can the observer of something be that thing? But that is impossible, isn't it? If you're aware of the thought, how can you be the thought? How can you then call it my thought? It's just a thought. And especially, you know, once you get a little bit skilled, I mean, just sit in a group, you know, and then you will see the same thought appears in a few people at the same time. So it's not your thought. I tested it out, you know, I was in a brainstorm meeting and I had a good idea, you know, and I said, let's see, you know, if that's my idea, you know, and then just a minute later, you know, somebody else came up with the same thing. So it's not my thought, it's just, you know, it's just around, you know, we grab hold of it. It's just like, you know, you see the tree, you know, and each of you sees a mango. I mean, the one who sees it first, you know, grabs it, it's mine. But before it wasn't anybody's. So, I mean, that is the first thing, you know, we should realize in our meditation. I mean, there's an observer and there's a thing to be observed. So if you observe a thought, the thought that we observe cannot be me. It cannot be the same thing as the observer. If that is my thought, you know, then who is the observer? Who knows that it's a thought? Who knows it's a feeling? That is the thing that where samadhi can get us deeper into, where we can really closely watch, you know. I mean, in the beginning stages of samadhi, I mean, we always try to pull our attention back to the breath, or back to the breath, and back to the breath. Yeah? But sooner or later, I mean, we will see, you know, how the thought actually arises, you know. It starts to arise with an intention, I want to think. Then it comes half a thought, then it comes a quarter of a thought, half a thought, a full thought, and then comes a thought chain. So So I mean the meditator or the practitioner always traces it back, you know, from the chain of thought to one thought to half a thought to, you know, quarter of thought to the intention of the thought. And then he sees where the intention is coming from. And the intention is coming from our heart or from the citta, that it's called, you know, from this point of awareness, this awareness that is over. So, I mean, people get so enticed into good movies, you know, they don't even realize. I mean, even when you're watching a movie, I mean, you get angry, you laugh, you know, you smile, or you and sometimes you even want to change the script. So, I mean, that is a perfect example, you know, when we close our eyes, how to see our inner movie. We get so enticed into this inner movie and thinking all these things belong to me, yummy, and try to change these things, not realizing that these things have a no nature. I mean, they appear and they disappear. They appear, they trigger something, you know, a thought triggers, you know, a memory triggers a feeling triggers a thought, and so on. It's just a mechanism. It's just like a watch, you know, where you have these five fields, and turning around, turning around, turning around. I mean, if you open, you know, the old watches, if you open it up, you see these wheels running around, turning in each other. Yeah? And you look at them, you know, and they're just turning. You know? And there's no meaning to it. The moment you close the watch, suddenly you have time. Ah, it's too late, it's too early, or it's just right now. And that is the understanding that we are trying to get, you know, that is the part of investigation. We understand what the hell is going on. Who is the one, you know, who knows? What is the thought? You know, what is the object being observed? And for that, you know, I mean, we have to start first, you know, we have to start with body investigation, because it's the most heaviest thing. It's always present. And I mean, if you're here for a week, or if you have done retreats, you know, the most thing that creates problem is the body. There it hurts, that's not comfort, tiredness and things. Ah, the only concern is about the body. That's why we investigate the body. What is the body? It's a biological robot that works on its own. It has its own nature. Just like, you know, just like thoughts and memories and things, they have their own nature. But we don't understand that. And nobody even told us, you know, in primary school, nobody told us, you know, that we consist of five khandhas, five groups, you know, and then that they work together, and that they are actually not us. You know? Otherwise, I mean, our world would be a different place. If you understand that these things are not me. I mean, people always try to change the nature, try to change the world. I mean, especially when we're young, you know, I mean, I just was the same thing. You know? I was trying to change the world, make it a better place, make it a more peaceful place. Yeah? Did it work? Doesn't get better, you know. I mean, if the war is stopped in one country, it starts in another country. I mean, the aggression is all over there. Hmm? And that these are the things that we have to deal with, you know, aggression. Hmm? I mean, anger. Hmm? The opposite is greed. Hmm? Wanting these things. Yeah? Anger is not wanting. Hmm? You have to deal with greed, anger, and delusion. Illusion or illusion. The illusion is probably better because, I mean, it covers up things, you know, so that we can't see it clearly. I mean, it's just like a fog, you know. If you run, you know, I mean, think about, you know, I mean, sometimes it happens, you know, maybe even in California there is a fog, you know. And then when you go in a fog through the forest, you know, I mean, you perceive it completely different than when it's clear sky where you see every peace very clear. So this delusion is the fog, you know, and the fog is one of the big problems. It makes us believe that there is, you know, that there is something, you know, that we really want or something that we really hate. So, I mean, just as a short, you know, overview of the path of the four noble truths. The five khandhas and anicca and anatta dukkha. Actually, that's in very short comprised the whole Dhamma teaching of the Lord Buddha. But in each time you can go into more detail. So now, if you have any questions. So you understand now, kilesas is desire. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Either desire, you know, something, wanting something, or desire not to want something.
Yeah, because I always heard it as defilements.
Yeah. And that doesn't, I mean, it never triggered me. I never saw something, you know, kilesas as a bad thing, you know. I mean, when I hear defilements, and
sometimes
I never.
Sometimes it's translated as imperfections.
Imperfections, yeah, I mean. Who
sounds more or less okay then. Just imperfect. Yeah. We can live with that.
Yeah, we can live with that. We can live with defilements. But with greed and hate, to live with that, I mean, it brings us into a lot of difficulty. I mean, if our desire is met, you know, it's fine, you know, we're happy. If our desire is not met, we get angry. Yeah. But kilesas, you know, when you look at the kilesas, I mean, you can describe them as soldiers. Mm. They are the soldiers, so there are three armies. Huh? There's the first, you know, first what you see is the army of greed and hate. Behind that army of greed and hate, you know, who pushes, you know, and pulls the army of greed and hate is that delusion, or is that fault. And behind that, there's even the mastermind who controls everything, and that is avijja. Not knowing, not understanding, trying to know, and trying to understand.
Okay, so then delusion is different than ignorance?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, avijja is normally translated as ignorance, but I wouldn't stick to that translation. I would really call it, you know, I mean, when you really define it, when you look at it, it is wanting to know, wanting to understand. I mean, lots of, you know, I mean, if you want to travel, you want to see, you want to know, you want to understand, but not being able to understand in line with the truth, not being able to know in line with the truth. That is ignorance. Because we don't see what is going on. That's why, but we still want, you know, and actually, you know, within the avijja is the will.
Is the what?
The will.
The will.
Mm. Yeah. That's the most important factor.
Intention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't. In English, it. You don't yeah. use will as so. Yeah.
Yeah, the will to do something.
Yeah. Intention to do desire. Something.
And yeah, just to the wheel, like the wheel of the circle of birth and death.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is quite true.
That is also true. Yeah. So for the moment, you know, for you, because you have practiced Goenka, you know, I mean, do as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but try, you know, to sit, you know, I mean, Goenka, you sit for 1 hour. So, I mean, sit at least 1 hour.
Okay.
I mean, but, you know, I mean, for the first 2 days, I mean, just do, you know, 1 hour of walking and 1 hour of sitting. If you want to do more walking, that's fine. But then, you know, slowly start increasing the time.
Mm-hmm.
And deal with the things, you know, I mean, observe them. I mean, the painful feelings that come up are not only of the body, but of the mind, you know. Boredom is one of the things. You're bored, you know, I mean, why should I go back to the breath? You know, I want to think about this, I want to think about. The moment you think, pull it back. You know? I mean, it's the toughest work. I mean, working in a coal mine is not as tough as, you know, bringing the mind back to the Buddha. I mean, people can endure a lot of things. You know? I mean, looking at the gold diggers, you know, in California, I mean, they hardly, you know, I mean, they didn't care about food, about sleep, you know, all they cared about was gold. You know? I mean, what kind of endurance they had. I mean, just sitting, you know, for 1 hour, it's actually pleasant compared to that. But their desire was bigger for that coat, you know, than our desire to understand what is going on. So when the slight pain comes up, we give it. And that, you know, and that's a level, you know, I mean, wherever we give in, that's a level of practice where we stop it. We can't get beyond that. Once we get at the next level, you know, I mean, we see, that was just nothing. Each time, we go one step further. By understanding the pain, by understanding the unpleasant feelings, and you know, not giving in to the unpleasant feelings. You know? I mean, whatever comes up in our practice, what is it? Unpleasant feeling. Okay, what is that? And then we start looking, you know. I mean, that's actually turning around. The unpleasant feeling that tries to oppress us, we suddenly switch around and say, ah, okay, what is that? And then it becomes interesting. And interest is one thing that keeps our awareness at that point. So we have to really make things, you know, interesting. You know, whatever comes up, we have to turn it around, you know, and look at it, you know, and say, interesting. What is that? You know, where is that coming from? You know? Observing it, you know. What is pain, you know? I mean, it bothered me all my life, you know. Do I want to be bothered for the next thousand or millions of lives? Now I want to understand what is pain. Now I understand what is thirst, what is hunger, what is this, what is that. I mean, we have to break it down. But for the moment, it's enough. You know? I mean, I don't want to confuse you too much. Okay?
Okay.
Question?
I did have one question, just about the not killing beings. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious if that applies only to like animals, or do they include plants and that type of thing?
No. It includes all kinds of beings. Killing, I mean, beings are, you know, that's why, I told you, the heavenly realms, there are beings there. I mean, killing these beings, I mean, it's probably mostly impossible. Then the human realm, killing humans, killing animals, killing ghosts, you know, I mean, it's probably, for most people, it's impossible. And things like that. So, I mean, it includes,
for most people.
Huh? Can a demon kill one demon? Yeah. Maybe he knocked him out, but
yeah.
Maybe he killed him, I don't know. So it's not plants. Plants are not, they don't have what you call in Christianity, soul. I mean, they don't have a chitta.
Okay.
I mean, they have their own nature, you know. I mean, of course, they react to everything, you know, in our nature, but they don't have a will. I mean, they don't have an intention.
Okay.
So, I mean, plants are out of the question. So, I mean, killing plants is our way how to survive. Yeah. Okay? So, I mean, if you have... Now, do the practice. I mean, if you have questions, you know, I mean, that bother you, tonight, you know, you can come... Normally, you can come up in the morning after the meal and, you know, have a few questions. And then in the afternoon, I will give a short talk, you know, explaining certain things.
Okay.
And you have enough literature.
I start to distract me.
That, actually, you know, when you look at it, it's not distracting. I mean, it always leads to the heart.
Ah.
I mean, it's not something that somebody writes about, you know, Buddhism, you know. I mean, they are really going. I mean, I can't read more than 4 pages because then I mean, it's only going in here.
Oh, okay.
It's a reform of meditation, right? Especially the MP3.
The MP3 is a form of meditation. When you listen, there are talks, you know, there are talks of Lungdama Bo in English, and there are some talks of me. I mean, when you listen, just listen. Don't try to understand. I mean, just listen with your heart.
Okay. Just kind of let go and kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But focus on here, on the heart.
Focus on the heart.
Focus on the heart, you know, on the chitta, you know, where these things, and then you will see it. You know, if you really get content, you'll see them pop out of your heart before they actually, you know, arrive in your ear.
Okay.